These recordings of Rabbi Isaac Bernstein are provided courtesy of Congregation Ner Yisrael in London, where they were originally delivered.
This is devoted to the ritual of the Polo Adumo, and the parsha is introduced with the words Zos Chukah Satoro. The word Chukah, of course, being used in the sense of some impenetrable mystery. The question which we have raised in the past is exactly what the word Chukah refers to. Of course, the simple and obvious answer to that question would be that the word chukah refers to the Polo Adumo itself. And the mystery of it, of course, would be that it is Metayeres HaTameyum and Metameyes HaToholim. We suggested in previous years that according to Rabbi Soloveitchik Zatzal, the chukah refers not to the Polo Adumo, but refers to the impenetrable mystery of death itself, which, of course, is the theme of the Polo Adumo, Tumat Meis. What I came across during the past week is a most fascinating essay by a rabbi whom we have referred to in the past, Rabbi Yosef Nechemya Kornitzer Zatzal, and we will see through his essay that he has a most novel interpretation of the chukah aspect of the Polo Adumo. And he writes as follows, Zos chukah hatorah. Kosov Berashi Zal. So Rashi writes on the opening words as follows. Lefi shehasoton ve'umos ha'olam moanin es Yisrael. Because the Soton and the nations of the world, they annoy Israel. Lomar, they say to us, Ma ha'mitzvah, what is this mitzvah? Uma tam yeshbo, what is the reason for it? Lefikach, therefore, kosov bo chukah. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has already anticipated this, and introduced the Polo Adumo with the word chukah. Chukah chokati, I have instituted a chok, ein lecho reshus lehareheir achareho, which we will now translate is, as you have no right to investigate after it. Miloshet hirhur. Now, so that seems to indicate reasons for the Polo Adumo are out. Chukah chokati, ein lecho reshus lehareheir achareho, don't think about it, don't try to rationalize. Says Rabbi Yosef Nechemya, so ha'inyan yipolei, and this is a matter of great interest. Eich yomar, how can Chazal tell us, ein lecho reshus laharher, you have no right to investigate. V'harei motzinu sheshlom ha'melech olam ha'shalom, chokar achrei tam v'inyan polo aduma. Isn't it a well-known fact recorded in the Midrash that Shlom ha'melech sought for a reason for the polo aduma? And of course, in reference to that, there's the pasuk Omati Echkomo, the Hirachoko Mimeni. I wanted to discover the reason behind it, but I wasn't able. But nobody said that he didn't try. The Chereb Moshe Hadarshan, and also the famous interpretation given to the whole ritual of the Polo Aduma by the Moshe Hadarshan, who is quoted extensively by Rashi towards the end of the Parsha, here in Parshas Chukas. The other, and on the contrary, mitzvah hilach korach leitame hamitzvos. On the contrary, is it not well known that there is a special discipline to which we have to address ourselves, namely, to try to discover a rationale of all commandments, and it's based on the pasuk in Divrei Hayomim, da es Elokei Avicha v'yavdeyu. Know the God of your fathers, meaning intellectually understand and perceive according to the limits of your own intellect all that you have to do in the realms of mitzvos, the yavdeyu, and serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what's this business, ein lecho reshus laharher achareho? Tehine bepashtus vaday hakavodo bozeh. So I would like to suggest, first of all, that pashtus, what these words in Rashi means is as follows, shelo yaharher acharei devarov shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, im gam acharei hachakiro, lo yimotzei lohem tam nochon. It means, try as much as you can to rationalize. Da es Elokei Avicha v'yavdeyu. But what Chazal are warning you in this introductory Rashi is that knowing how difficult it will be for you to find a rationale for the Polo Aduma, if you don't find something which you can, as it were, accept, then leave it. Don't try to be too clever. If you cannot discover something which satisfies you, then do not become critical and say, because I can't understand, or because I cannot explain, therefore it has no worth. That most probably is what Chazal means. Mikol Mokom, nevertheless, I would like to suggest something else. Mikol Mokom nireli lomar bozeh al pimach etvar kotzavti. I would like to explain this whole idea in lechoreshus laharer acharei chuko chokatzti. I would like to explain it on the basis of what I have already intimated. Sheyech litmoa lichuro al tamo shel Reb Moshe Hadashenzal. Let us now address ourselves to this famous rationale given by Reb Moshe Hadarshan to the episode of Poro Adumo. And he says that the Poro Adumo is in order to atone for the Chet HaEgel. In the words of Reb Moshe Hadarshan, quoted by Rashi later on, if the servant's son makes a mess, the servant has to clean up. So if they worship an eagle, so the Poro has to come and atone. Okay, now, the question that I have on Reb Moshe Hadarshan is, I have a basic theological problem with this. How can a Moshe Hadashin suggest that the whole ritual of the Poro Aduma is exclusively to atone for the Chet HaEgel? They were already told in Mora, the whole lineage of Poro Aduma, on the words, Shom, Som, Chlo, Chokum, Ishmad, Shom, Nisto, the Chok, the first of Poro Aduma. They were already given it. Whether they were given it as something to study, she is asked over him as a Ramban is Medayik and Rashi. It makes no difference. They were actually given as a topic the whole union of Poro Adumo. Barik Fabamoran and Stavuazer, the Imkin Hoyu Mukrochim Lukura Lasos Egel, Yan Kodmolose, Yedias Hashem Yisborach. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu already knew at the time that they were going to sin at the Egel Azov, for which reason he gave them the mitzvah of Poro Adumo already beforehand, surely then HaKadosh Baruch Hu was anticipating, and therefore there was no free will on the part of the Jewish people whether to sin or whether not to sin at the Chet HaEgel. Because since HaKadosh Baruch Hu had already given them the inyan of Poro Aduma, which according to Reb Moshe Hadashin is in order to atone for the Chet HaEgel, so therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu was already anticipating, as it were, it's been taken out of the Jewish people's hands. So therefore we have a problem. Achvah kosav horambamzal. But in regards to this question of Yediyah and Bechira, the Rambam has already made a pronouncement and says, Klal Godel Bozeh, on the Mishneh, Hakol Tzafui, V'Horeshus Nesunah. Says the Rambam, Klal Godel Bozeh, She'en HaYediyah Matcheshes HaBechira. You have to know that the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is aware of what is going to happen in the future, that in no way negates the principle of free will. Aval ein koach ben odom kitzar seichel lahasig inyan zeh. But it is impossible for a human being to comprehend how there is no inbuilt contradiction between the fact that God already knows beforehand what is going to happen and the fact that we still have the ability whether to do or not to do. V'al zeh ne'emar, concerning this, as the Rambam, the Novi Yeshaya says, Kilo machshavos, thy machshavos eichem. My thoughts are not yours. Says Rabbi Yosef Nechemya, now that we understand that we are involved here, according to Rabbi Moshe Hadarshan, in the inyan of Yediyah and Bechira, which is an impenetrable mystery, now we approach the Rashi in a different fashion. V'al zeh kosav Rashi zel. That's what Rashi means when he says, Shahasotin, who is the Yetzer Hara, whom most of all the nations of the world moan in Es Yisrael, they already annoy us. Aldebar, Tam, HaPolo Aduma. What's the reason for this ritual? Now, Uretzon Olamah, what Rashi means is like this. Not that they're asking us what's the reason. We're going to give them a reason. Ki bevadai nuchal nidchoson v'tam Moshe Rev Moshe Hadashim. The Sotan and the Yomusawolam know full well that if they ask us for a reason of Poro Aduma, we'll be able to give them the whole inyan of the of Reb Moshe Hadarshan, right? But that's where their questioning begins, not where their questioning ends. Avol bozeh gufo heimamonin es Yisrael. But that's when they start to annoy us. Loma, when they say to us, you're suggesting the time of Reb Moshe Hadarshan? Mahu tam mitzvazu. What other time is that? The Eich Yuchal Yehiyos Kozeh. How can it possibly be that that's the reason? She Yedu Bar Yitachem Mishmot Al Dabar Asus Chem Esau Egel Achrei She HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kva Yoda Milifnim Yediya Baruch Shet Asu. How come that you are already going to have to atone for a sin which HaKadosh Baruch Hu already knew beforehand you were going to do? V'al Zeh Anachnu Meshivim. And that is when we say to them, Meaning, you're perfectly right. God knew, and we still had free will. How is that possible? Concerning that aspect, that theological phenomenon, we are not able to grasp, as the Rambam says. The reason of Rav Moshe HaDarshan is true. But in regards to the theological, what appears to us to be a contradiction between Yediyah and Bechira, which evolves from the term given by the Moshe HaDarshan, namely that the Inyan of Poro Aduma was already given prior to the Chet HaEgel, and seemingly we are meant to accept that this fact does not compromise the fact that what we did with the Egel Azov was still a product of our own free will, and not because we were forced to by God's Yediyah. Aldavar kush yezu, it is in regards to this matter, ein lo lonu reshus v'koach b'stichlenu hakotzer l'harher v'lachkor al zeh ki lo machshavosai machshavosechem ketirus haramamsa. So therefore, says Rabbi Yosef Nechemian, it's a very colorful interpretation of the Rashi. The emes is, says Rabbi Yosef Nechemian, that the chukah is not the reason for the Poro Aduma. There's no problem in the reason. The reason is, as Rashi himself has given us, later on in Pesuk Kafbeis, namely, the Moshe HaDarshan, that the Poro comes and Mechaper on the Yegel. However, what happens now is that the Sotan and the Yom HaSolem get to work from that point on. And they say to us, how come that it was given to you in Moro, if it was only supposed to be an atonement for a sin which happened many weeks later? And the answer is yes. That belongs to the Yediyah HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It still does not remove the culpability of that event, of that sin, from our shoulders, because even though Hakol Sofui, nevertheless Horashus Nesuna. How come? How do you reconcile those? Ein lech Horashus leharalachera. We don't know. Kilo machshavosai machshavosich. So whereas we originally interpreted the word chukah as referring to the actual Poro Aduma ritual itself, and whereas we accepted in the name of Rav Soloveitchik that Zatzal that chukah refers also to the mystery of death, according to Yosef Nechemi, the chukah aspect of the Poro Aduma is none other than the mystery of Hakol Sofui for Horashus Nesuna. Now we move on, because we will need now to refer to Rav Moshe HaDarshan in another fascinating context. And that is, in the second item, the majority of our shiur this evening is in regards to the Poro, but nevertheless we'll manage to get around to some other items as well. So the Torah Tamimo, at the end of this chapter, dealing with the Poro Aduma, adds a very fascinating insight. V'ro'inu le'ho'ir kan besof parsha zu, he'ora achas ha'shayach le'inyan parsha zu bichlal. Now that I finished my explanations of the various Ma'amore Chazal that I have brought in regards to the ritual of the Poro Aduma, I would now like to bring to your attention some general item. The Tachlisa, and what I want to achieve by the comment that I'm raising is, Lekayem Das Ezem in Horishonim, I would like to offer a basis in Torah for the opinion of those Rishonim, Shekima'at Nidchu Mikolo Acharonim Kidavorim She'ein Lehem Koltam Voremezesvara. I would like to support, or bring a support, for those Rishonim who have an opinion, which I'll mention in a moment, which has already been dismissed by most of the Acharonim, and that opinion that I'm referring to is, Ayin V'Yorachayim Simen Rok Toplesh Pehe Simen Zat Div Zayin Huva Da Deo Achas. There is an opinion brought there, it's actually a Tesis Horoshim Brochus, De Kriyas Parshas Paro Havechiyu Dioraisa Kamo Parshas Zocher. That's an opinion. The opinion is, in the same way as Parshas Zocher is a Chiyuv Midioraisa to hear it once a year, so likewise, Parshas Paro, there is a Mitzvah Asay to hear Parshas Paro as well. Uvamogan Avram Bereisha Simon, Uvabiuri Hagro, Vyod Acharonim, Dochu Zeme Halacha. The Mogan Avram, the Vilna Gaon, and many other Acharonim, they say, halachically, this opinion is to be dismissed. Why? Bipede Kilomotzinu Zebe Shummokom. Because we find no indication whatsoever in any source that there should be such a mitzvah, I say, to remember the Poro Aduma, the Gamein Tam Voremes Lichiyavze. And it doesn't seem to have a rational basis either. So let's see if we can sustain this opinion and relate it to some ma'amorim, some sources. Says the Torah Tamimo, V'hinei b'posol kaf beis hevi Rashi b'shem medrash agoda, Russian Posokapes, as I already mentioned, brings a medrash agoda, the chol inyan polo aduma, that the whole purpose of the polo aduma, tachlisa umatorosa hila chater al maisa oegel. That's the opinion of Rav Moshe Hadash in which Rashi brings. Ayin shom b'chol prat, uprat b'arichus, hametzayar ma'arocha mul ma'arocha, kol prat b'yodas ha'poro, k'negin inyan kamova maisa oegel. And if you look there in Rashi, who quotes Rav Moshe Hadash, you will discover there how beautifully he relates every aspect of the ritual of polo aduma, its preparation and its use, to every aspect of the Chet Ha'egel. Okay, so we know that according to Moshe Hadarshan, that the whole inyan of the Poro Aduma is to be Mechaper on the Avon Ha'egel. Fine. Now, V'yayin Masha Kosuv v'Parshas Ekev. Look now, he says in Parshas Ekev, in Devarim Perek Tes Posuk Zayin, the mitzvahs zechiras maise ha'egel, he mitzvahs asei kishar ha'mitzvahs. Follow very carefully here, please. He says, if you look into Parshas Ekev, you will discover that there is a mitzvah, and mitzvahs asei, like all other mitzvahs, to remember the fact that we made the Egel Azov. Now, what's the pasuk on which this is based? Says the Torah Tamima, the pasuk says, Zochor al tishkach, Eis asher hikzafto es Hashem elokecha bamidbar. Remember how you angered Hashem in the wilderness. Osu lohem masecha. He's meddling around with the psukim here, we'll see in a moment. So there's a pasuk which says, Zochor eis asher hikzafto es Hashem elokecha bamidbar. Remember how you angered Hashem in the wilderness, says the Torah Tamima. What is that referring to? Osu lohem masecha. They made for themselves a graven image. Now, the kosav hamogin avron b'simen samach. Sivkot and Beis. So now the Mogen Avraham has a shaila. If indeed the verb Zochor is used in regards to this particular event, and is used in regards to so many other things, Zochor is Asher Osolachu Amolik, Zochor is Yom HaShabbos Mekadosho, so why do we not remember the Chet Ha'egel like we remember so many other things? They are all introduced with the word Zochor. The Masher Otiknu Nikros Parshazu Kemo Parshaz Zichiras Amolik. You know why? Because it's an embarrassment of our people, and to remember something which is embarrassing is not altogether acceptable, and that's why it's left out. That's what the Mogen Avraham says. The Torah said Zochor. You don't find it convenient, you got a problem. Oh, but the Torah said Zochor, says the Mogen Avraham, because it's a little unpleasant, a little embarrassing. I will be honest, ain't times a mastic the battle mitzvah in the horizon. That's not a sufficient reason to discontinue and to cancel out one mitzvah, to say a positive commandment from the Torah. On the contrary, the Gamafurish Omer Megillah Kafei Omer Beis, in the Gemara Megillah, it speaks about the custom which they had in ancient times, that every posuk of Kriyas HaTorah was followed by a rendition of the verse into the vernacular, and the Gemara says over there, Maisa Egel Horisho Nikra Umetargev. And the Gemara says there you should know that the episode dealing with the making of the golden calf has to be read in Kriyas HaTorah and has to be translated into the vernacular. So the Gemara says, well, why should it be any different? Why should we think it shouldn't be translated into the vernacular? Says the Gemara, Diyafal bi sheyesh bozeh mishum genus and shel yisroel. Even though by translating it the proletariat know what's going on and they feel embarrassed, but that's no reason not to read it. On the contrary, that's a reason to read it, says the Gemara. Nichalahu, it's much more preferable to have them become embarrassed. Ki heikad alahavalahu kapora. Because when they hear it, they become embarrassed. When you become embarrassed, you do teshuvah. So therefore, on the contrary, it seems to fly in the face of the Mogen Avraham. Mogen Avraham says you don't remember the good Maisa Ha'egel because it's embarrassing. And on the contrary, the Gemara Megillah says you remember it dafka because it is embarrassing. You might have thought you should leave it out. On the contrary, that's why you put it in. So why not say the same reason here? So how does the Mogen Avraham fit in with the Gemara? But, fact of the matter is, says the Torah to Mimo, Mogen Avraham is right. We don't remember the Chet Ha'egel. So what's going on? V'lochei nira lomar betziruf svoras ha-Mogen Avraham. So therefore, I would like to suggest, says the Torah to Mimo, by referring to the svora of the Mogen Avraham, ki alpi medrash agodah sheberashi sheheveinu, that if you remember that the medrash that we have brought in the name of Rav Moshe Hadarshan, who tells you the Chol Maisa HaPorah Hi Lechaper Al Maisa Ho'egel, that the entire Poro Aduma ritual is in order to atone for the Chet Ha'egel, and therefore the Poro Aduma ritual is in its own way a most obvious allusion to the Chet HaEgel, according to the Moshe Hadarshan. Velochein kedei lekayei mitzvah saseh de zechiras HaEgel. Ve'im zeh shelo nufasei mefurish genusin shel Yisrael, tiknu liklos parshas paro. So which, as they say in the rabbinic circles, we're killing two birds with one stone. What we're doing is, by remembering the Poro Aduma, by reading it every year, we are reminding ourselves of the Chet HaEgel, because according to the Moshe Hadarshan, the whole Indian of Poro Aduma is lechaper al avono egel. And since there is a mitzvah tasei to remember the egel, but says the Mogen Avraham, it is a little too embarrassing. Well, we don't have an alternative. We've got to do it, like the Gemara Megillah. You got Kriyas HaTeir, you got Kriyas HaTeir. But if you can remember the Chet HaEgel by insinuation, without having to refer Dafka to the Parsha, Matovu Manoim. So the Torah of the Mima says that is why the reading of Parsha's Poro is in fact regarded as a mitzvah sasei midioraisa by those rabbis, because they are of the opinion that it is a mitzvah sasei to remember the Chet HaEgel, and they would suggest that by remembering the ritual of Poro Aduma, Al Pi Reb Moshe Hadarshan, we are in fact commemorating nothing other than the Chet HaEgel. Says the Torah of the Mima in conclusion, V'hinei afim no ma shelo kivnu horishon v'meshem osku t'kriyas parches pora havi midiorais in the hatzvola shekosavnu. Even though the rabbis who say that it's a mitzvah in our Torah to read parshas pora every year, even if they don't agree with what I've said, im kol zeh nira hadvorim kedai liyomrem, nevertheless it's worthwhile saying. I say, what is most extraordinary with this Torah to Mima is something which Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky Zatzal points out in Parshas Echa. The Torah Tamimo says that the words from which we derive that there is a positive commandment to remember the Chet HaEgel is from the words at the top, Zachor al tishkach eis asher ikzavtu es Hashem Elokecha b'midbar. Remember how you angered the Almighty in the wilderness, right? Now that's paid a test for Pasuk Zion, as he says. The next verse goes on. Uve Cholev Hiktsafto es Hashem, and in Cholev you also angered God. Ba'alosi Hahora, when I went up at the mountain. So Uve Cholev Hiktsafto es Hashem, says Rabbi Yaakov, that's the reference to the Egel Azov. Uve Cholev at Cholev at Mount Sinai. Uve Cholev Hiktsafto es Hashem. And then, Osura and Masecha. Torah to Mima does a bit of an accordion here. He puts them all into one, it's not true. So, Uvamidbor, Zochores Asher Iktsavto, as Hashem Elokecha Bamidbor, has nothing at all to do with the Chet HaEgel, says Rav Yankov. Horaya, the next person goes on to say, Uvachores Iktsavto. So we have a bit of a shiny here. What's this talking about? Is it speaking about the fact that we rebelled against HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the Yam Suf? No. At the Yam Suf, we don't use the word Bamidbar. Zachor Esa Shirik Tzavtu Es Hashem Elokecha Bamidbar in the wilderness. So what happened between the crossing of the Red Sea and the arrival at Har Sinai, which can be termed Esa Shirik Tzavtu Es Hashem Elokecha Bamidbar? There's only one solution, says Rabbi Yankov. And that is when we murmured at Morah because we had no water. That is where we angered at HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because no sooner had we crossed the Red Sea and we had seen the most extraordinary deliverance by Yad Yisrael, Mitzrayim, Esau, Sathayom, etc. And no sooner had we got out into the wilderness than at the slightest provocation we were already murmuring. So that is what we have to remember. We have to remember a mitzvah tasem in our Torah. Not the nice HaEgel. We have to remember how we murmured against HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Morah. Says Rabbi Yaakov in one of his masterful observations. And now we can understand why it is that we read the Poro Aduma, the part of Poro. You know why? To remind us of the episode at Morah. How does that work out, you may ask? Well, I'll tell you. Rabbi Yaakov is fun. What happened at Morah? At Morah, the Jewish people complained, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, take a tree and put it into the water. The water is bitter. The tree is bitter. Vayimtiku amoyim. And the waters became sweet. It defies rationalization.
Here in Moro, we were already given a basic insight that the ultimate reality is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wills. That's the ultimate reality. The fact that something does not make sense does not mean that it is not real. Or as the Sefer HaChinuch puts it somewhere else, the fact that people are dying from illnesses that the doctors don't understand doesn't mean they're not dying. Rationality is only part of reality. What we understand and what makes sense is only part of the world. Kilo machshavo sai machshavo sechem. There is a world which contains the rational and the pan-rational. And in Mora we were witness to a Maimar Chazal which says, who has said to oil that it should light, has set the vinegar that it should light. In other words, it is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will that is the ultimate reality in this world. And that is why, in order to confirm what happened at Moro, which we have to remember, says Rabbi Yaakov, we have the Inyan of Poro Aduma, which we read every year, because it is the ultimate in irrationality. Metayeris atameim, metameis atahorim, to confirm, as we have to know, that not everything that makes sense is all that reality consists of. Reality consists of the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in which part of that world is reason, but not the total. And that is a very, very profound observation of Rabbi Yaakov. So as far as he is concerned, he goes along with the Torah Tumimah in seeing the Pasuk Zachor, but seeing it not as in reference to the Chet HaEgel, but rather seeing as in reference to the Inyan of Moro. And, P.S., it should therefore come as no surprise that in Moro itself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu already gave them a ritual which had absolutely nothing to do with anybody. Shabbos, I understand, it comes once a week. Kibbud Avoreim, most acceptable. Dinin, fine, wonderful. Ben Adam L'Chavera. Poro Aduma. Poro Aduma belongs to Moro, because they both have the same message. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Gezeira, Himi Lefonai, and that's it. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu wills is what happens. Okay. Now we move on. The second episode, of course, which is worthy of mention, not that I'm the one to choose, but nevertheless, we come now to the whole Inyan of Mei Meriva. And here, I want to draw your attention. I mean, there are, as you know, a variety of interpretations of exactly what went on, apart from the Pshetlach. The Shari Aharon already brings 25 different interpretations, reaching from Chazal right down to the Aharonim. And let us now consider exactly what was the scene of Moshe Rabbeinu. We have mentioned some in the past. Rashi, of course, famous. By hitting the rock instead of speaking to it, which we've discussed at length previous years. And then we had a Diane Waldenberg, a very profound thesis making use of the Lev Aryeh and Chulin. And then we had the Emek HaNetziv. And, of course, everybody is familiar with the Rambam, who says, Shimon HaMorim, listen, you rebels. Ibn Ezra says, why should HaKadosh Baruch Hu take Moshe Rabbeinu to task by saying, Shimon HaMorim? In Devarim, Moshe Rabbeinu says to them, Mamrim HaYisem. You have been rebellious people. So why should he be punished for telling them off? It says, Mamrim HaYisem. Says the Ksav's over. He wasn't punished for telling them off. He was punished for being too nice to them. He shouldn't have said, Shimu, no, Hamorim. Listen, I pray you. He should have. It'll get after his organ in Patnarai. There's no nor. You should have left out the nor, Zokter. Most fascinating. The problem is not that he said Hamorim. The problem is that he said no. If they needed to be berated, then you have to tell them. You cannot go halfway. Either you say or you don't say. The Yavero, according to the Ksav Sofer, interpreting the Rambam and Yalkut, on which the Rambam is based, is in the nor, not in the mood. But let us have a look now at a famous pshat, which is brought by the Ramban. And I've taken it from the Ramban, even though you have the Ramban in your, because it takes a little time to find it. Says the Ramban as the most acceptable interpretation of what their sin was, and it contained sufficient ammunition to push aside all questions from the questioner, They are the words of Rabbi Yochanan and his opinion as to exactly what the chet of the neighbor Eva was. Shekosan, what he writes, ki ha-chet hu, their sin was, when they said, ha-min ha-sela ha-zeh, no-tzi lachemayim. Is it from this rock that you expect us to bring out water? Implying that the water, if it appears, is going to be brought out by them. Like Rashi brings in Vayera, that the Malachim were punished when they said, ki mashchisim anachnu, we are going to destroy this city. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished them. Because the angels were the one who were destroyed. So therefore, when they said, Notzi lochem mayim, v'rohui sheyomru, they should have said, Yotzi Hashem lochem mayim. Is it from this rock that you expect HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bring forth water? Kederech sheyomru, as they said in Parshas Beshalach, v'seis Hashem v'erev v'sol le'echol, when Hashem gives you meat in the evening, etc. V'chein v'chol anisim, and so it was in all the miracles. Yodiyum, Moshe Rabbeinu always informed the people, ki Hashem yaseh imayim lehafli, that it was HaKadosh Baruch Hu who was performing these wonders for them. V'ulai choshvu ha'om, and it is possible, therefore, that as a result of the fact that they said no tzilach emoim, it is possible that the people came to the conclusion, ki Moshe v'yaharom v'choch mosom, hotziu lehem mayim v'natzilo azeh. They came to the conclusion that it was Moshe and Aaron who actually brought forth the water, and therefore an opportunity for a kiddush Hashem was lost. Because whereas they could have been yet again inspired by what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was doing for them, they saw it not as an act of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but something which Moshe and Aharon managed to arrange through whatever forces they were able to harness. That is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe and Aharon, Lo kidashtem osi, you did not sanctify my name. You had an opportunity to indicate that it was I who was giving them the water and you didn't do that. And when, at the first occasion, at the end of Parshas Beshalach, when Moshe Rabbeinu brought forth water, HaKadosh Baruch Hu then says, oh no, even though you're going to smite the rock, but there's going to be no room for misunderstanding, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Hineni omeid lefonecha sham al atzur v'choreif, I am standing there at the rock, meaning that the cloud of glory is there. So no matter what Moshe Rabbeinu does, it's quite obvious who is the instigator and who is the provider. The Hashivim Zakedim, Rabbi Mahmud Heonon Omed al Atsur, the Hanes Misparsem, Kimaisa Hashem Agodalu. I will bakan, but here it's not so. There was room to misunderstand. Because Lo Ro Dovo, because they didn't see a cloud. Vitol Bamama Moshe Vyaharon, and they made a mistake in regards to what Moshe and Aharon's. So therefore, Loki Dashtemosi, you did not sanctify my name. You had an opportunity to indicate to Bnei Yisrael that it was I who was bringing the water. You didn't do that. Lohemantem be, the Ramban will then go on to say, it doesn't mean because you did not believe in me. Hemantem is used in the causative as a hifil. You did not bring about greater emunah in me on the part of the Jewish people. It's a Paul Yotze. Yadlohemantem, you did not make them have emunah in me. So therefore, as far as Rabbi Yochanan is concerned, the chet is quite simply when they said, note C, and involving Moshe and Aharon, and how beautifully it fits in, because one of the signal questions which always arises in whatever interpretation we give is that Aharon didn't do this smiting. Aharon was a passive bystander. So why are we told later on that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu and Aharon, because therefore you shall not come? If we accept it, as Rabbi Yochanan says, that Moshe used the word Notzi, shall we? And including himself and Aaron. Aaron should have objected. You don't get prizes for manners. Notzi lochem moyim. If indeed this was the chet, then Notzi as a plural involves Moshe and Aaron. And by the fact that Aaron allowed the moment to pass, meant that he was as culpable as Moshe Rabbeinu, one with commission, the other with omission. Here it's not so, there was room to misunderstand. Finishing off this inyan of May Marivod, as it were, for this year, let's now have a look at a very, very profound observation of the Or HaChaim HaKadosh Perek Kaf Posuk Yud Beis. We know that as a result of the Chet HaEgel, as a result of Chet May Marivod, that Moshe and Aharon are not going to be allowed to come into Eretz Yisrael. Now, As we know, and we've looked into this particular phenomenon many times, the two words used for speech, the most common words, are vayomer and vayedaber. Vayedaber usually means a severe, stern type of speech. Vayomer is amiro rako, right? Gemara Mako says, dibur is koshos, it's to speak sternly, and amiro means to speak pleasantly. Now, how does HaKadosh Baruch Hu introduce the news to Moshe Rabbeinu that as a result of what has taken place, he and Aharon are not going to be allowed to come into Eretz Yisrael? Vayomer Hashem el Moshe v'yel Aharon. And Hashem says to Moshe and Aharon, L'yar lo emanti mi lahaktisheni le'enei v'nei Yisrael, lochein lo saviyu et ha'kohol hazeh el ha'odas Hashem osati lem. Vayomer? Pleasant? Vayedaber? Vayomer? Says the Orachayim HaKodesh as follows. Kosher? L'mar shekodam lonu. He says, I have a difficulty with this pasuk, with what we already know, ki loshen amira, that the word amira, yora al devorim hamistadim es alayiv, usually introduces something which brings happiness to the people who are being addressed. Ugedula v'kodot yivaser. And Vayomer usually introduces some announcement of greatness, something worthwhile hearing. The Kan Roani, and here's the Orachaim I see, Shalom Omar, Elevasuras Gezeiro Roa, that here Vayomer introduced a Gezeiro Roa, a man's life's ambition is being taken away from him at the last moment. Vayomer? Says the Orachaim HaKadosh, V'yisbo'er al pimar she'omru b'medrash. We will be able to understand why this is introduced with Vayomer when we bear in mind what the rabbis have noted in the Medrash. She'omar Moshe lefnei Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he was told that he would die in the wilderness. Moshe Rabbeinu said like this, Hare gozarto olai lo mus pamidbor. You have decreed on me to die in this wilderness. Im hador hora hazeh. With that wicked generation which was destined to wander for 40 years because they placed their confidence and their trust and their faith in the 10 spies who brought back an evil report. Yomru Hadoros, you know what the generations will say? They'll see that I died here. They'll see that they died there. Sha'ani shovelohem. That there's no difference between the level of my sin and the level of their sin. That's what people will say, because they were both given the same punishment, so one has to arrive at some type of conclusion. So therefore, the Medrash says, Yikosev olai, says Moshe Rabbeinu to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please, write about me, Alma ne'enashti, why I was punished. I want everybody to know that I was not punished for the same reason as the rest of the generation. I never doubted your end. Adkan. V'hu ma'asheromat Hashem v'yomro, and that is what is merumos, what is being alluded to by the word v'yomer, loshen romimus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is elevating Moshe and Aharon over the rest of the generation who died in the wilderness. Because regarding their sin, it is written, concerning which they died, Yan lohem antim, v'yal yachshavu hadoros. Therefore the doros, the future generations, will never be able to assume incorrectly, Sheheim shovim lador hora chas v'sholom, that they are equal to those of the evil generation who likewise were condemned to die in the wilderness and never to arrive in Eretz Yisrael. It's a very, very moving, thing. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Moshe Rabbeinu his request and indicates explicitly why it is that Moshe Rabbeinu died. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I want people to know that I was not part of that number who doubted the goodness of your land and who doubted your ability to give us victory over our enemies. I have to die here for a different reason, and therefore it is a source of nachas ruach for me that HaKadosh Baruch Hu writes in his Torah that I was condemned here for a different reason altogether. As we know, Aharon dies in this week's Sitra. I wonder whether you've noticed. Perek, well, let's have a look. Perek, Kaf, Posuk, Kaf Dalet. Most probably one of the most extraordinary midrashim I have ever come across in my life. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Yeyosef Aharon el Amov, let Aaron be gathered to his people. Now, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say to Moshe Rabbeinu when it was time for him to die? Alei l'harav avorim azeh ha'nevel, go up to the mountain Humus and you will die. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, you're going to die, go up to the mountain, you're going to die. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not say one word to Aaron. Do you see that? It says El Moshe V'El Aharon, but that doesn't mean El Moshe V'El Aharon at the same time. It's as Chazal explained many times, El Moshe Sheyomar V'Aharon, because otherwise anyway the posse wouldn't make sense in Kaptalet. Says the Yalkut Shemoni, regarding this phenomenon, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not tell Aharon directly, but told Moshe to tell Aharon, says the Yalkut Shemoni, Zeh Shomar HaKosuf, it is in regard to this phenomenon that we have the posse in Halel, Yakor v'yenei Hashem hamavas olach hasidov. How precious in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the death of his faithful servants. Omar lei HaKadosh Baruch Hu leMoshe, one can weep. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Asei tova, do me a favor. Ve'emor lo liyaharon al hamisa. And tell Aaron that he is going to die. Sh'ani vo shlomalo, because I'm embarrassed to tell him myself. Believe this? It's a yalk. Sh'ani vo shlomalo, I'm ashamed to tell him. A person who is Ohev Shalom Verode Shalom, whose entire existence was one Mizmor Shir, one song in praise of Shalom, whatever it is. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I cannot bring myself to tell him that he's going to die. Please do me a favor. It appears that if Moshe Rabbeinu won't tell him, he won't die. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't bring himself to tell him himself. Okay. What I want to move on to now is another observation of the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, which follows on immediately after the passing of Aharon. And that is in also... Yes, Perek Kaf Aleph, Pasuk Yud Beis. Perek Kaf Aleph, Pasuk Yud Beis. Here, HaChaim HaKadosh is Moleh V'Gadosh. He points out a most fascinating phenomenon in the language of Torah. Mishom Nasa'u, from there they journeyed, Vayachanu V'Nachal Zored. Mishom Nasa'u, from there they journeyed, Vayachanu V'Eber Anon, etc., etc. These are the only two occasions where we find that nusach. Misham nasa'u, from there they journeyed. The usual nusach is vayisu. Why misham nasa'u? Says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh as follows. Yesh lohoir. One is entitled to ask. Lo moshino b'maso zeh v'sheli yacharov lomar v'derech zeh misham nasa'u. Velo Omar Kederech Shomar Bemikra Shilapanov Shilapanevanov Vayisu Vayisu, why Mishom Naso? Says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh as a suggestion, the Ulai it is possible, Ki Beis Masoros Elu, that both of these journeyings, the one where they journeyed to Nachal Zored and the one where they journeyed to Nachal Arnon, Nosu Me Atzmon, they journeyed of their own accord. Below Alpi Anonim Keseder Horogil. Usually they knew it was time to journey when the cloud got up and moved on. Then they knew it was time to move. We are suggesting therefore Mishon Nosu. From there they journeyed of their own accord without the usual preliminary of the cloud lifting and moving. Meaning, may Atzmon of their own accord. Okay, that's a suggestion. And I would like to confirm this interpretation. From what the Torah says in Parshas Devarim, when it says, Atokumu, the Ivru Lachemes Nachal Zored. Arise now, cross over the Nachal Zored. And it says, for the Kumusu, the Ivruas Nachal Arnon. Why do they need to be told? We never find them being told to move before. Why do they never need to be told? Because when the cloud lifts and moves on, They know it's time to go. They don't need to be told kumu. And the vorim yagidu, so you can see dak in these two situations. Shelo nosu'u al pi ha'onon, that they did not journey because the cloud moved. Shim hoyo al pi ha'onon, because if it was because of the cloud, ma mokum le divrei Moshe, why would Moshe Rabbeinu need to say, now is the time to move? Aye, v'hagam shiyomer ha'kosuv, and despite the fact that the Pasuk says earlier on in Bamidbar, al pi Hashem yachanu v'al pi Hashem yisou, these two were the exceptions to the rule. Why? V'hatan efshar, the reason is, shebeis hamasoos halolu hoyu achar shemeis aharon v'nistalku anane yakovet. Because according to Chazal, when Aharon died, the anane yakovet went. When Moshe Rabbeinu died, the man stopped. When Miriam died, the bear stopped. Aye, v'hagam sheyomru zal. Aye, it is true, Chazal say, shechozru v'zechuso shel Moshe, that the Anan Yaakov did eventually come back in the zechus of Moshe Rabbeinu. Ulai sheheonon shehoyu nosim v'chonim malpiv nishar mesulik v'zman shenosu beiz masoas haniskoros. The obvious conclusion is that the Anan Yaakov, even though it went away with Aharon and came back into the chus of Moshe, it did not come back in time for these two journeys. And that is why in regards to these two journeys it says, Mishom Noso. It's a most fascinating interpretation. Because as you can appreciate, this is the two. And not that they are scattered, they are mamish side by side. And confirmed by what is mentioned dapti in connection with these two journeyings, in Sefer Devarim, as he had pointed out, Kumu, Ivru, etc. I want to draw your attention now to something quite extraordinary which I came across, and that is a Perush on Perik Kaf Aleph, Posel Kaf Zayin. A number of items still to look at. So after they having vanquished, so they're living there. And you should know, Ki Cheshbon ir Sichon melechu Amorihi. Cheshbon is a city which belongs to Sichon, the king of the Amorites. V'hu nilcham b'melech Moab harishon, and he made war with the first king of Moab. V'yikach eskol ha'atzum miyodo ad Arnon, and he took all his land from him. Al kein therefore, yomru ha'moshlim, the poets say, oh Cheshbon, come to Cheshbon. Tibonev v'sikonein ir Sichon, let the city of Sichon be rebuilt and established. Because it is, in fact, Cheshbon is the city which belongs to Sichon. Fine. There is a statement by the rabbis on these words, Al-Kain Yomru Hamoshlim Bo Cheshbon, which is usually translated as, therefore say, the poets, come to Cheshbon. Let me read you out the statement by the Gemara Bava Basra. Al-Kain, therefore, Yomru Hamoshlim Bo Yitzron. Therefore, do those who wish to prevail over their Yetzirah say, Bo'u v'nachshov, let us now make a cheshbon. Schar mitzvah keneged hefseda, let us balance the reward of a mitzvah against its loss. The hefseda avera keneged oncho, and the loss of an avera as contrasted with its punishment. Schar meisen. Al-Kain Yemru Hamoshlim. Therefore, those who wish to rule over the Yetzirah, they say, Baruch Cheshbon. We've got to be making Cheshbonus all the time. Calculating if I want to do this is permissible. Like a Cheshbon, what do I stand to gain? What do I stand to lose? So Rabbi Yonis and Ayi Bishut says, in his polite manner, what is going on here? All right, it's a nice little homiletic. Baruch Cheshbon, that's not a Cheshbonus. This comes from Rosh Hashanah, this is Elul, whatever. But what's it got to do with here? After all, the passage before that says what? Cheshbon belongs to Emori, and he warred with the king of Moab, and he took his land from him. Thank you very much. Rather this love, my business. Says the Bienes and Irish. Chazal were so sensitive to every single word and every single statement in the Torah. What is the problem that we have with the Yetzirah, says the Bienes and Irish? The problem that we have with the Yetzirah is not that he is all of a sudden trying to talk us into doing something which is most definitely forbidden and we would recoil. He doesn't come to us and say, go in a car on Shabbos. He doesn't come to us and say, go into a trefer restaurant and go to the street and eat. He doesn't come to us and say, go and eat on Yom Kippur. He doesn't start with us on big things. He starts with us on little things. And once he's made his way, he's made an inroad. As Winston used to say, it's the beginning of the end, or the end of the beginning, or whatever it is, it's somewhere along the way. So the Yetzirah starts off with little things, which what we call Nabekach. No, they say, Chavos nicht. Some people say it's Osir. Some people say it's Mutter. But...
Says Rabbi Yenison, Al Kein Yomru Hamoshel Bo Cheshbon. Based on the previous Pasuk, we see how important it is to look after the small items. Cheshbon belonged to Melech Moav. And it was a city on the border. And it was a small town. And the king of Moab heard that Sichon was coming to attack it. It's so small. It's so far away. I should worry about it. You know what happened? He got into Cheshbon. And by Yikaches Kolat Somi Yodo Adonam, before you look around, he'd swept through the whole country and he'd taken it. He's Al Kein Yomru Hamoshlim Bo Cheshbon. From this we have to take a lesson. You think this little Nabekach, no mehechates of Avos Nisht. There's no thing too trivial that we can overlook. You can rest assured that whoever gave that man advice to ignore what was going on in Cheshbon, that fellow's head didn't stay on his shoulders very long. Same thing here. If we don't look after the little things, they used to say if you look after the pennies, the pounds will look after themselves. That's what if you look after the faraway towns, then the big cities will look after themselves. If you look after the Avelos Kalos, then you'll never come Chas V'Shalom to Avelos Chamuros. It's Chameira de Gavot. Rabbi Yeshua Heller, the Chosin Yeshua, says, when he came across this interpretation of it, it's going to happen, one fella. I want to add a P.S. Not to this evening, Shia, but to last week. Because, although I believed that I had made the position clear, there were a number of people who came to me during the course of the week, still rather puzzled by the fact that a difference between two individuals or two groups in halacha has to live side by side with the prohibition not to enter into machlokas. They couldn't understand it. They thought one automatically means the other. They thought that elu v'elu divrei elokim chayim means that's what each side shouts at the other while they push the bayonet in. They didn't understand that elu v'elu divrei elokim chayim means that there are equally authentic points of view and they have lived side by side and... One thing has nothing to do with the other. As I want, I was at pains to point out, on the contrary, through the Mishnah in Sukkah. And I believe these are Mari Makomos that have to be made known. Because there are other Mari Makomos which need not be so well known. And I want to read you out a letter, closing minutes of our shiur this evening, a most fascinating letter. And I would like you please to regard the contents, it's not Chas V'Shalom meant in any way to be Lashon Hara against any person or persons. It is a point of view that confirms what I mentioned last week. Some years ago, I suppose it must be over 100 years ago now, the Jewish community in Yerushalayim issued an invitation to a very well-known rabbi to become the rabbi in Yerushalayim. And this rabbi was known as Reb Eliyahu Feinstein. He's the uncle of Reb Moshe, is that so? And Reb Eliyahu Feinstein was the maternal grandfather of Rav Soloveitchik, is that so? He is an Agon Otsum, he was an author of Halichos Eliyahu. He was a Rav in Prujan. He writes as follows. I have to read you out the letter, I mean to say this. The Rabbi Gershon says you're not allowed to open other people's posts, but this letter is public, so we can read it. Lo achachez, hamerdig a letter. What sort of English that is, I don't know. Lo achachez, I will not deny, higam ani hinani kanoi. I will not deny that I'm a zealot. Avol own eini ohevis hakanois hakitsonis hado eges rat letzadechod. But I got no time for kanoim who only look after one item. Because there are two types of kanoos. There's two types of zealotry. Kinos l'shem shomayim v'lechvod HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'soroso. The first type of zeal is for HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his Torah. The kanoos sh'niya l'chvod am Yisrael v'kiyumo. And a second type of zeal for the Jewish people and for their continuity.
Holy Shon, the first one, Shon U Yodim Alodosov, that we know of as a Kanoi is Pinchas. Uma Umer Akosov Olov, and what does the Pasuk say about him? Pinchas ben Elozov ben Aaron Akoin, Heshivet Chamosi, Meyal b'nei Yisroel. So he was a Kanoi for b'nei Yisroel. The Kanoi is Kinosi b'Sochom, v'lo Kilisi es b'nei Yisroel b'Kinosi. Harei, from which we see, says Emilio, Shekinoso shel Pinchas, Hayasa Kefula Umechupelet. He had the dual Kanoas. Ukine Kinas Hashem Smokos. He was zealous for the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avol Yachad Im Zeh Kine Gam Lichavod Yisrael Feheshiv Chamas Hashem Meyaleh. And he was also zealous on behalf of the Jewish people. Zu Hi HaKanoas Ho Amisis. That is the true Kanoas. Likane Kinas Hashem Smokos. To be zealous on behalf of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But at the same time to be cognizant, Livli Lifgoa b'Yisroel b'Chvodom, not to damage Israel or its honor. Now he writes the following. Leda'avoni, to my distress, Shomati, I have heard, ki hakanoim hakitzoniim b'Yerushalayim, that the zealots in Yerushalayim, mekanim kinas Hashem tzvokos, they are most zealous about HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his Torah, Unachonim, and they are prepared, levatel mitoch kinazu, to be mevatel, because of this zeal, al eile mi b'nei Yisroel hayoshivim b'yeris Yisroel, v'einom nohagim k'mosam. But because of their zeal for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they are willing to dismiss and go to war with those people in their number who do not subscribe to their halachic norms. He didn't accept for that reason. He writes that that's why he didn't accept. There are two types of kanoas. There is kanoas for HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his Torah, and there is kanoas for the honor of Israel. And if we recall from last week, and I mention it because it so profoundly echoes what we mentioned last week, Beishamai and Beisilel are sitting in a sukkah and Beishamai keeps shtum, because they are zealous for the kavod of their colleagues. When their colleagues leave, they indicate to Rabbi Yochanan HaChoroni what the halacha is, because they are zealous for the Torah of Hashem, which according to them indicates that the sukkah and the way he sits in it is not acceptable. The tragedy is that we cannot understand that there are certain attitudes in regard to halacha which are halakhically indefensible and theologically reprehensible. We cannot understand that it is possible for one person to be in favor and for another person not to be in favor, and that this is confined to the Dalet Amos Shel Halacha, and those who are part of one group are cautioned by their rabbis not to be in favor, and there are those who are cautioned by another group that it is correct to be in favor, it is halakhically acceptable. And whilst if you want to belong to one club, you have to abide by their halakhic norms, they are not entitled by any virtue, provided there are authentic halachic bases on which the other group adhere to their particular practice, there is no halachic grounds whatsoever for them to go out kiseitze la milchoma alo yevecha and befrat be'enei hagoyim v'hameivin yobin. This is one of the great tragedies of our time. For those people who want to say Hallel with a bracha on Yom Yerushalayim, fine. For those people who don't want to say Hallel with a bracha on Yerushalayim, equally fine if that is their view. No person is entitled, as happened this year. No person is entitled to come into a shul where it is their custom to say, and to insist that they do not say. This is chutzpah, this is gaiva, and this is non-halachic. It's very, very important that we keep these matters in mind. I have no quarrel with those people who choose different norms. I have no quarrel with those people who opt for Chumras. In whatever area it may be, I have no quarrel with them. Eilu be eilu, there is no problem. Where I do have a quarrel is when they begin to tell me what I should be doing, knowing full well that my opinion is grounded on equally authentic halachic sources, and one does not improve the situation by impugning the halachic sources of the other part. This is a terrible, terrible tragedy that follows us down and down and down. Even in Schmitte, in the Zaheta Mechiro, there are people who say it is not acceptable nowadays. That is their view. If there are people who say it is quite acceptable and it's founded on Adlai Falls and on Mute Hahoroa and it's still valid today as it was 100 years ago and that is their opinion, and if that is their opinion and they quote chapter and verse, fine. You don't want to eat in their home. Don't eat in their home. But you should tell other people not to eat in their home. And you should tell other people where they go and what they don't do. This, to my mind, we have to remember that we are not speaking in this regard in halacha. And again, I repeat the words. We are unfortunately involved in regard to halacha in enterprises, attitudes, and practices which are most definitely shalom alibi dehilcha. And that is what the Chasam Sofer meant when he says, Cholila losiyeh kozos b'yisroel. That each person has got to find out who his person, who his authority is. If it's Dayan Waldenberg for me, if it's Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal for them, if it's Minchas Yitzchok for other people, Yehivuchu Asheloch, whoever they want to have, let them have kol hakavod. But there has to be someone who says to these people, if that is your opinion, kol hakavod. But an opinion does not mean that you have to go to war and that yours is the only opinion. If Elu vi Elu Divrei Elohim Chayim means anything, it means that on various matters, not on every, on various matters, there are equally authentic opinions. And we do the breadth of Halach, the breadth of Chazal, the breadth of Yiddishkeit, a disservice, come along with claustrophobic arrogance to insist that everything has to be done in conformity, not with a opinion, but with our opinion, because it is the only opinion. That is a canoas for Hashem, but it has absolutely no respect for the integrity of the other members of the Jewish people.